Has anyone ever inspired you to create a more fulfilling and successful life for yourself? As a leader in your business and in your community, what are the questions that you ask yourself on a daily basis? What are the questions that keep you up at night? I am your host, Betty Collins. I am a CPA. I'm a business owner. And I partner with other women, other business owners who want to have remarkable results for themselves and for their business and their community. And I'm here to help inspire you to take positive steps forward for a better life. So over the next 12 episodes and kind of this season, we're going to focus on lessons learned. We're going to hear from other women who have learned lessons, and they're going to share with you. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do to help you navigate maybe similar situations that you're in, and you don't have to go through what they've gone through. And I hope to challenge you that you have lessons learned in your journey that other women need to hear. Never underestimate that part of your life and that story, because it will have impact. In my opinion, we're obligated to share those life lessons. In my opinion, we have a responsibility to each other, woman to woman, or women to men. But I really believe what we've learned in our lessons over our journey are impactful, and they need to be part of how you give back and how you help others. The journey of life is one big lesson. That's how I see it. And we learn as we go, and we learn on the fly, or we learn from others. And so you can do things with lessons that you've had to learn. One is you can just ignore them and not do anything with it. And you'll probably be learning that lesson again. Or you can choose to embrace it, learn from it, and go the extra step by then telling the lessons that you learned and inspiring others. So number one, they don't maybe have to go through what you went through, or they can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. They can do this if you can do this. Never underestimate the power of a lesson learned when you share it. So today we have a really cool guest, Lisa Gutierrez.
That's correct.
All right, I got it. And she has an amazing story. She really does. And, you know, she did something really simple, like start a business in food service. Right. And she just went for it and said, I got all kinds of money and capital and let's go for it because we're going to work hard. All of what I'm saying isn't true. But she does have a great story, and she did start an amazing business. And I'm going to let her, instead of reading a long biography, just kind of tell a little bit about the dream, when it started, and, you know, take the next couple minutes to tell us a little bit about that as well as yourself.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And I'm excited to share. And I love to share lessons learned.
Yes.
Because I agree that, you know, don't just learn from the lesson, but share so others don't have to learn that lesson.
Yes.
And entrepreneurship will take you through some lessons.
Yes. Yes. It is not for the weary, right?
It is not for the weary. And I was very comfortable in my corporate restaurant job. I was a manager for the Cheesecake Factory for over 10 years. Okay. And I started with them very early days, store number 8, so right when the concept began.
Okay.
And my husband had worked in food service also with Cameron Mitchell. CMR is a restaurant group here in Ohio. And he had this crazy idea of wanting to start a food truck. So his friend had a truck, didn't know what to do with it, so we thought it'd be fun to give it to us.
Sure.
So we took the truck and a little bit of money we had in savings, and we decided to start a business. And going from corporate management and then becoming an entrepreneur, you know, boy, have we learned some lessons, no pun intended.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yes. So we are 11 years in business today.
Okay.
Started on the side of the road selling tacos at $1.50, if you can believe it.
No, I can't. I wish I could find that truck.
Absolutely, right? Where is that today?
Where is that now?
Just making maybe $100 or $200 per day, then going to the grocery store and reinvesting it on more ingredients, back to the truck the next morning to sell maybe $100 or $200 the next day. So I think they call that bootstrapping.
Yep.
So we bootstrapped for quite a long time. And where Dos Hermanos is today is 3 food trucks and 1 taco cart. We have concession stands in both Lower.com and also the Greater Columbus Convention Center. We have 3 brick and mortars, and we have 1 2-story full-service restaurant at Easton Town Center.
There you go.
We have almost 100 employees, if you can believe it.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing in itself, and no doubt the lessons that you learned along the way,
yes.
because I'm sure you pivoted. Of course, you went through COVID, all of that. But you inspire many people in Central Ohio and in our community with the perseverance and the resilience of building this business, and people know you and they know the product, and it's awesome. I've eaten at the Easton, so. But in 11 years, you've taken a dream and grown it into a thriving business. You know, the amount of people that have 100 employees or more is not the norm in small business.
Right.
I mean, normally it's under 25. So you've done something that a lot of businesses have not accomplished, even being around 10 and 15 years.
Sure.
But what was your driving force? In other words, what was that why? What was the why?
So I think about how you just mentioned the number of employees that we have.
Yeah.
So I have a passion for people.
Okay.
And that's really where that comes from. It's my passion to inspire people, mentor people, gather with people, you know, and my husband's passion is to serve this authentic Mexican food, mm-hmm. where these are recipes that came from his mom and his grandma. So I think between the two of us of serving the food and sharing it with people is how we've grown in a community that supports us over, you know, the last years.
Harvey Hook, which is quite a known name in town, business guy, just a wonderful person. He always will email me and he'll say, can we just get together and break bread?
Yeah,
you know,
and absolutely.
That's what I'm hearing you say when you say that. But for people who don't have the why, you know, they have a lot more lessons learned. When it's money driven, you wouldn't have probably stayed the course, right?
No.
So the why is just crucial. And for the audience, if you don't have a why of what you're doing, lessons learned, you need one. I know a couple years ago, I had a friend, Betty Clark, who got with me from Simon Sinek's University on my why. And when I got that created, I went from, I can do your QuickBooks and taxes to, when the U.S. works, the world works in the economy. And when the employer can be the employee, when the employer has employees, those are families where there's provision that form communities. I went from A to Z in my whole thinking. So the why is huge. And I like your why because it's just simple and to the point right there. I mean, you know it, and you were very, very direct with it. But you are an inspiration to many entrepreneurs, especially when you can look back. I mean, it's 11 years, so it's kind of like our kids want a full house with everything in it day one, right?
Right.
But what would you say are the biggest lessons that you know, learn from observing and reading, experiencing work of leaders around? What would that be?
You know, I think about, you know, how we started. So I always say, start with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a borrowed food truck.
Yeah.
It had no branding. There was no marketing book with your color wheel and all these things.
Right.
And I quickly learned, as you put a big truck next to other trucks that do have branding, then nobody can really tell what kind of food that you're serving. So we thought it would be fun to go ahead and paint the truck with like some red, white, and green stripes.
Yeah.
And we interpreted that as maybe a Mexican flag or Mexican food.
Yeah.
And our guests interpreted it as Italian. So after they waited in the long lines to get to the truck. So, you know, that's one of the things I always think about, Betty, is, you know, start with what you have and what you can do.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be perfect to even get started. And as I watch other leaders, I hear that more often than not.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and you said your husband had worked for Cameron Mitchell, so he had a good success story in front of him. He's very known in this. He's known really nationally in the food industry.
Correct.
Period. He sets the standard, honestly.
Yes.
I mean, we're number one right now in Columbus when it comes to food and dining, and I think he has a lot to do with it.
Of course.
But he had an amazing story of lessons learned, and some of that is he talks about, I had to do what I had to do, and then I got there, and then I had to do what I had to do, and then I got there.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the same thing what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
So as far as what are your biggest obstacles in, you know, what were that in growing the business?
Sure. I think, you know, our largest obstacle still remains today is access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often share the story that, one, I'm a woman in a male-dominated industry, the restaurant industry. Oftentimes people feel a chef may be a man instead of a woman. I don't know why they think that, but sometimes they do. And I'm African-American. I identify as African-American, and I have a Hispanic last name. So very often, Betty, before I even enter the room, people have already have a preconceived notion of possibly my limitations or what I can do. And I like to, you know, as we have throughout the years, just show them otherwise.
Right. Yeah. So in when you talk about capital, because that is the biggest obstacle for anyone if you don't have it. In my learning from my running for election and losing, my 10 lessons, one of the things I talk about was no matter how hard you work, and you can work really hard, and we did when we ran for this off, when I ran for this position, my competition had 2 to 3 times the money. Mm. And so their messaging, their branding, their workforce, all of it, they just, that played a role in the winning.
Sure.
It just does.
Yeah.
You know? But in the area of financing, from when you look back of, hey, the capital during this moment was we got a used truck and we've dealt with it to where you are now, what would you say to entrepreneurs, you know, be patient?
Yes.
I mean, you know, what are things you would tell them that you just had to learn along the way?
Absolutely. From the very beginning, start with your bookkeeper, first of all, and make that relationship. Now I think I have a weekly call with the bookkeeper to go over, you know, what's outstanding.
I love it. This is awesome.
But that's not where we started, Betty.
No.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
sure.
You know, it would be the end of the year and I would show up with the shoebox, literally, you know, and then, I just kind of push it over towards her way and she'd be like, what is this? But, you know, now we have a set time.
System.
That comes over time, right? But I think at bare minimum, you know, start at the very beginning. I think it was year two until I brought the bookkeeper in and then they had to catch up.
Yeah.
And what's great is as the maybe an industry specific bookkeeper, because they know the verbiage of the different things that are coming through your account.
Right.
I think that's very helpful. And, you know, all of your team, whether it's a lawyer, you know, you could find a free lawyer. It doesn't have to be the top lawyer to start out. Someone to review your contracts and things like that. But I try and build my team. I wish I would have built it earlier.
Yeah.
But you don't always have the capital.
Right.
You know, that's last on the list, you know. You're trying to find house paint to paint that food truck with a red, white, and green stripes first.
Then you have to cover it up again, you know, to
absolutely.
Come up with
if we were in an election, we would have lost that also because our competitors had beautiful trucks.
Yeah.
But I think that's really, you know, I try and surround myself with other like-minded individuals, people who are doing the same thing. Early on, we went into a commissary kitchen where there were other food truck owners. And then quickly I learned what are the best festivals. You know, I didn't waste my time where we weren't going to make money. And I feel like surrounding yourself with other like-minded individuals is very important as well.
Right. No, I mean, generally what happens with the finance piece is entrepreneurs like yourself, I mean, you got a passion for people and serving, and you got a passion for the food that you're making.
Right.
And always is the wife does the QuickBooks for whatever reason. So it starts out as a shoebox and it evolves into Excel. And then that becomes encumbersome. And then you finally get to, I just have to do this. But it is somewhat of a money thing because you're trying to save money where you can.
That's correct.
So I get that. But the team around you is what I'm hearing you say.
That's correct.
That's huge, your advisors. Yeah. I just went through a whole episode with my tooth. So long story short, and I'll try to keep it short as possible, but I have one dentist telling me it's, you know, I'm gonna be closed Friday and I'm not gonna be open till January 2nd, but you need a tooth extracted probably because it's bad. I'm going out of there going, oh my goodness. Then you try to find surgeons, you can't find them. You don't keep surgeons in your Rolodex a whole lot, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, what am I going to do? And it dawned on me, no, you know a really good surgeon that's really an amazing person. And I just called to say, what do I do? And she goes, the day after Christmas, come and see me and let me give you some stronger meds. So what was interesting was I got there and she did 20 x-rays. I mean, I had x-rays, and the last thing I want to see is my teeth, especially back behind and all this stuff. But she really explained to me, here's the problem with your teeth. Here's the overall problem. Did anyone tell you this, this, and this, you know? And I so appreciated the advisor she was that day.
Absolutely.
You know, and how important it was. And guess what? I didn't have to have it extracted and pulled. It was savable, and she got me into a person in a very hard time. So knowing those right people.
That's right.
Not big people, not they have a practice with 20, you know, surgeons under them. It was just the right person. You
and
know,
the other,
having the right advisor.
That is correct. And the other piece to that is being the right advisor to someone else.
Yes.
So once you get that advice, right? Yes.
And so have you given advice to other business owners, especially with what you do and in your industry?
I do.
Okay. So what do you tell them? Like, what is that thing that you go, don't do this?
Or, yes.
Like, this is what you need to do. This is the issue.
Well, kind of what we talked about already, right?
Yeah.
Surround yourself with the right people. Get around people who are doing the same thing.
Right.
Build your team early. You know, definitely get the bookkeeper in there fast.
Yeah.
You know, but also stay the course.
Yeah.
Right? Give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Right? On New Year's Eve, I was telling someone this morning, I was all in the house by myself and just gave myself a big hug when the ball came down. And I thought, you know, it was a really challenging year, but
sure.
I stayed the course and, and you know, ended up being really good at the end.
Right.
So you have to give yourself grace, I think.
Right. Definitely. That's a lesson in itself is, you know, giving yourself that. And so what if you fall down? You have the ability to get up.
Absolutely.
You know, now, if you keep falling down,
yeah,
you might want to think about what you're doing.
You
right? But I mean, for the most part, you can keep at it and go.
And everyone does. You know,
yeah.
You have to remember that as an entrepreneur because you
yes.
feel like you're the only one and you're supposed to know all these things, right?
And
you're supposed to start with all these things in the very beginning. And just know that everyone starts the same.
Right. Well, entrepreneurs, honestly, I mean, until you are one, you don't have the respect for one, especially who builds something from nothing and goes there,
sure.
right? You don't get it. I mean, I to this day look at anyone who, you know, has lost an election and reran, or the people that have won and they keep at it, and you just have a different respect for the things they do and how they do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people need to hear from you because it will encourage them along. Because I go back to my why of if the U.S. economy works, the world works. And it's just true. You're the employer. You know, you're helping getting it done. And there's a bigger picture and it's a bigger thing than just we made money. This is how we make a living.
It's such a bigger picture.
Yes.
I can think of our commissary kitchen is located in an underserved community.
Yeah, I wanted you to talk about that because that's the first time I ever heard you speak, and I was so enthused with that.
It's
so awesome.
We
Let's
had no idea.
That.
We took the commissary kitchen right before COVID.
Yes.
I had just graduated from the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. And they have you come up with a growth plan.
Yeah.
So my growth plan was that place was going to be an event space. And we all know there was no events.
Yeah.
I remember the first early days of COVID and trying to imagine how we could continue to operate. Restaurants were mandated to take out only at that time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that's in our wheelhouse. We can do takeout.
Yeah.
You know, I had 20 employees. We had 25. I laid off 5. So I stayed with 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, grown adults coming to the office just in pure desperation of, are we going to have jobs?
Yeah.
And the other thing was, can I keep them working safely? And can I get them to come to work?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of challenges. But one thing that that happened, which I always say is almost magical, if you will, is my brother-in-law, I called him to the office and had the talk, you know, and I said, I will keep you as long as I can. I'll even go down to just the three of us, meaning him, my husband, and myself.
Yeah.
You know, could you put the food in the freezer? Because I'm not sure we're going to need it anytime soon. And there was a knock at the door, if you will. It was actually a doorbell that rang, the front door. And I went up to get it. And it was the gentleman who lives across the street. Now, the gentleman who lives across the street sits on his front porch and most of the time is, I don't know, partaking in an adult beverage.
Okay.
All day long,
all
if you
day
will.
Long. Okay.
All day long. And I see him as I come in and out of the commissary kitchen.
Sure.
But he has never come to the door before.
Okay.
So this was something out of the norm. So I kind of said, you know, how can I help you? And he said, I'd like to buy a burrito. And I thought to myself, the world is ending, crashing.
Right.
We might lose the business.
And
I don't
you
know.
Want a burrito.
And you want a burrito right now. Yeah. And he handed me some money. So I looked at my brother-in-law and I said, okay, go ahead and make him a burrito. The gentleman paid me. And I said, why a burrito today? You've never been here before.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, there's no bus. And I said, well, what do you mean there's no bus? And the bus service had been slowed down to a Sunday schedule in that neighborhood and kind of left behind, if you will.
Yeah.
And they had no access to fresh food.
Mm.
So that was day one.
Yep.
By day five, we had to put a cash register up front. I had to hire about four or five people. Now, we're talking about hiring people in the very early weeks of COVID. And we helped feed a community during that time when they had no access. But what was really special, I want to say maybe 4 months later, I was in the North Market location, and that same gentleman came running down the aisle. And if you can imagine himself just weaving himself in and out of people to get to me, and he's pointing at me, and he says, "You saved us. You saved us." Yeah. And I looked right back at him, and I'm like, "No, you saved us."
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's amazing to have a commissary kitchen in that neighborhood and to be able to provide a lunch and dinner service at a reduced cost so that people have access to fresh food on a daily basis.
Right. If you don't know this story, you really should look up. I'm sure it's on your website or wherever, but it is an amazing story of how they met an incredible need that if you have a car and you have access to get to place and the buses and you're going to a gas station for your food or walking as far as you can get to, they met a need within a neighborhood that was incredible.
Yeah.
So it's a great story. But how do you take the lessons that you've learned, you know, which you've learned plenty of, and we can't get to them all today, to build a strong culture for all to inspire, you know, for success?
Absolutely. So I have two personal brands. One is called Lisa G Speaks, where I love to be a public speaker.
Okay.
And I love to speak from the stage and share these lessons learned, if you will.
Yes.
And that's one way I give back, because people do learn from others, like you said in the beginning, Betty. And I do a food truck millionaire coaching program where I teach food truck owners how to go from the concession window to the CEO seat.
Nice.
And that's my other give back, is to just teach them how to get from where they started to where they want to be. So, and it goes back to just those, like you said, break and bread conversations that you have with people. And, you know, I always tell people, come by the office or call me or send me an email. And just being available to give that same advice that I received. I received advice from you, too, in the very early days.
So. Oh, no. What did I tell you to do?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't remember.
All the accounting advice. No, I'm silly.
No.
But, you know, just like that give back, you know. So besides the neighborhood, it's more on a personal level with other entrepreneurs.
Right.
You know, especially women entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I want to encourage them to be bold, don't just want a seat at the table, but be paid to sit at the table for your knowledge and your expertise, and don't be afraid to share it. Remember that empathy is our superpower as women, and, you know, in the boardroom, empathy can go a long way.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to show that emotion. I know sometimes we feel we have to be all buttoned up, but really, if you can empathize with people and meet them where they are when they show up, you can move mountains.
You know, one of the things that you've done really well is you've been involved with certain organizations in the area where, you know, like the WSBA or NAVO or those type of things. How has that impacted and helped you? Because you were with people, like certainly with the WSBA, you're all learning along.
Absolutely.
You know? NAVO, you're all supporting each other. You know, the High Women's Coalition is making sure we're advocating to the right people in the legislature.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about your involvement with some of that has helped you get through this 11 years to from zero to 100 employees?
Absolutely. Every step of the way. You know, there's always someone in those organizations that you can reach out to. There's always information there. And it's a safe place, which I think is amazing.
Right.
You know, sometimes as an entrepreneur, you feel like you don't want to tell everyone all of your
stuff,
right?
Because
you want to show up a certain way. But when you can get into one of those groups, like the WSBA, where it's all women working together and there's expertise at the table, you know, like I said, magic happens, right?
Yeah,
so
it does.
Big part of our journey, and even today, you know, even now.
Would you do it all over again?
Absolutely.
She says yes, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And do we have big plans for the future, or are we kind of just good right now? What do you think?
Well, there's big plans for the future, but I'm kind of good right now.
Yeah. Let me get through 24, right?
Let me get through 24, and I'm thankful for 23.
Yes. You know, it's funny because we live in times, and since 2020, you know, since everything fell apart, and we're like all scrambling to some degree, every year I go, this could be the year that everything goes really bad. This is it, you know, or this and that. And yet, at the same time, the one, as much as we've lost a lot of institutions or things or routines that we all loved, right? The small business owner has stayed consistent to me. and they have just kept pushing and figure out how am I going to do this next and how am I going to keep going.
Right.
And certainly, if you didn't learn anything in the last couple of years, I don't know that you're teachable.
Correct.
You know? I just don't. I don't see it. So, well, we have been had the pleasure today of having Lisa Gutierrez.
That's correct.
I got it. On, and she has a great story, and she's got a great company. And tell us where we can find you. What social media things are you on so the audience would know where they can find you, your story, your services, and
absolutely.
Such.
At Dos Hermanos Taco is where our website is. Also, those are our social media handles as well.
Yep. So you're on Facebook,
Instagram, TikTok,
they're all there. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Well, I would encourage you to reach out and to because she is a person who's going to help you learn some lessons for sure. And hopefully you're thinking about your lessons that you've learned that you can give to other people and share. More about Inspiring Women can be found on BradyWeir.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you for listening.